Yeah. No matter how long it takes.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Milwaukee, get ready. 101.7 The Truth Family Fest is back. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com or by emailing Sierra at CIERRA.Brown@MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education in Ascension. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to those who are just joining us today. We're going to cry. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to cry in the car. We're going to shed some tears because we need to. And it's okay. And because y'all family and because we, you know, relatives. I'm your favorite play cousin, right? And we have Sheena Scarborough, who is the mother of Sade Robinson, joining us. I had the pleasure of meeting Sheena some years back, a few years ago, when I planned the memorial service at the Barrett Center for Sade. We also talked about the fact that August 10th is the first date of the trial of the Tupac Shakur murder trial. It's been 30 years since this took place. There's a lot that's about to come out. As we continue to talk about the families and, you know, this case in particular pertaining to Sade, I just want to give a trigger warning that when her mother comes, we will be going through the case every step of the way. So if this is something that is intense for you, you know, I do apologize in advance, but it's imperative that we understand the dynamics to its entirety so that we know what we're dealing with. And also because the family continues to fight after that sentences, they still are fighting. And lastly, because it happened in our own backyard. This crazy guy has been walking around this city prior to this happening, right? So before we went to break, we were talking about the specifics of the case. The fact that he was not charged with premeditation is something that I don't agree with, because all signs lead to premeditation. So, again, real quick, just running it back from the top for those who are joining us. Sade Robinson walked into Victor's 3 days prior to her being deceased to apply for a job. She was already working at the country club. She was already working at Pizza Shuttle. She was a college student set to graduate. I believe a year or two later, if I'm not mistaken, a year later. And she went into Victor's to apply, did the interview, met this fool. And I'm not going to say his name because he don't deserve to have his name said. I'm just going to refer to him as the fool. She met the fool. And 3 days later, she was murdered. He took her out on the date. When they went on the date, the detective analyzed the footage and showed that it was awkward. He didn't show any signs of interest in her. He would not look at her. He would not talk to her. He just sat there next to her. And then when they left to go to another bar, or left the restaurant to go to the bar, they began to play beer pong with another couple. And that was the first time that you can kind of see her laughing and them interacting. But overall, it doesn't look like he's interested, which, again, brings me back to premeditation. Because if you aren't interested, first and foremost, you knew how she looked when she came to apply. So there's a such thing as being shy, and there's a such thing as somebody not being interested. He's not trying to. This is me tapping into like I'm a psychologist. I'm not. But this is my opinion. When I watch these shows, one of the things they talk about often with these psychopaths is that they try to do things to make sure they don't gain any type of emotional attachment, right? And that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like he wasn't trying to become emotionally attached to her. So they leave the bar, he gets in her car, and they go back to his house. When they arrive at his house, you can see from the footage across the street, two people walking in his back door. You see the silhouettes of two people through the upper window. Hours go by and you only see one person. And you only see one person leave. Where's Sade? Then he takes her car and drives it around the city for 2.5 hours. And he ends up at the beach where he dismembers her body and puts her body in the water or scatter her body across whatever it is that he did it there. He had a large backpack on. He leave and go back home. The hoodie that he had on, he threw in his neighbor's garbage. He took her car on 30th and Lisbon and set it on fire. Got on the bus after he said, again, world's dumbest criminal. Got on the bus after he set it on fire and text her phone the next day to try to cover his tracks. Not knowing that, A, the pictures in his phone he deleted of her corpse and him fondling her corpse were retrieved by his iCloud. His ex-girlfriend had came forward and told detectives that a year prior when they were in a relationship that he mentioned he wanted to take her to his secret place. He refused to give her the directions and instead he showed her how to get there. So what the detectives did was test her and say, well, show me. And when she did, she took them to the beach. Then they found in her trunk Sade's clothes. Her pants were turned inside out and her underwear were still wrapped up in her pants, like as if you're laying there and somebody just pulled your pants off. And they were laid neatly in the trunk of her car. Her clothes were. But it was the pictures that put the icing on the cake. He kept saying he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I didn't do it. I think an excuse that he gave was that when she left, someone must have kidnapped her in his alley or something that was insane, right? But you have pictures in your phone. And her clothes is in the trunk. And you took the hoodie, your hoodie, and put it in your neighbor's garbage can. And it had Sade's DNA on it. Now, another thing, I'm sure the detectives looked into this, but another thing that was weird to me was the people that found her. And maybe they had nothing to do with it. I'm just wondering who's just walking on that beach. When you look at the beach in the clip, it's not a regular beach like if you go to Bradford Beach. The whole scenario of it, to me overall, was weird. Shout out to the chat. Madi says, I got four daughters. Cases like this makes me deeply heated. I will never look at white people the same. I've been told how they are. His relative should be paid a visiting. His relative should be paid a visit, selling that house, knowing more dead bodies in the house. And that was another thing. If I'm not mistaken, that there was some type of tunnel or hole in the basement or on the side of the house. And his family is sitting on boatloads of money. And they were able to sell this house in the middle of the investigation. I don't know anywhere on earth where that is possible unless you pay to play. And when I say pay to play, I'm not talking about the hookers on 27th and Lisbon. I'm talking about the rich people, the entitled people who pay certain things to happen, certain judges, certain elected officials, certain people to make things disappear. And that's exactly what it looked like to me, because I can't imagine how many other people may have been inside of that home, right? Jeffrey Dahmer effect. I don't know. These are all allegations. But if he did it to her, and it was premeditated. Let's go back to the chat, because Cray Cray said that she said, on top of that, someone came forward, an informer came forward saying Maxwell Anderson planned this murder a week prior to it happening. Premeditation. Which means that in the detectives, their opinion was that he hadn't done it before because he was so sloppy. But how do you know that? Maybe he has done it before, but he had a lot more time to get rid of the evidence. These are the type of people that we have or have had in the city of Milwaukee. right? Can you imagine that? This is somebody who was walking around this city. This is a young lady who all she wanted to do was go to college to finish her criminal degree and then go to the Air Force. That was Sade's plan. She was not out here wilding. She wasn't out here acting a fool. She had her own place at 19, bought her own car, worked hard, worked two jobs, and was getting a third one so she could pay to go to finish college. Went to college and was scheduled to graduate on time and then go to the Air Force. Only to meet someone in hopes that she can build a bond with them and end up losing her life. This is a very, very heavy topic, but it's something that we can't shy away from. And again, I know that you guys probably have watched the news headlines. I know that you probably seen 48 Hours. I know that you probably followed the case. But what you don't know is that the fight is not over. The fight isn't over. He has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. However, he has appealed, which means her family has to continuously go to court every time he does that and relive this tragedy over and over and over. On top of her things coming up missing, her storage unit coming up missing, right? Let's talk about it. When we come back, we're going to dig into this a little more. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.
I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers to throw away. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. Cause I took control of things. Ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Slossin' that soldier race. Don't know them days. Take you in back of the buildings. Make you expose your rage. Take you across the tracks. Make you explode a face. Now you official now. But you got a soul to save. I just been cooking that note. I'm about to drop in a few. Think if I call it the great, the people gon' call it the truth. I ain't really trip on the credit. I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game. Now my name all in the news.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Thank you all so much for joining us this evening. Before we went to break, we mentioned that August 10th is the official start date of the Tupac Amaru Shakur trial, murder trial. It's been 30 years. We are going to continue to cover this story. Always sending my love to my good sis, his sister, Setua Shakur, and the entire Shakur family. And we also tapped into the Sade Robinson case, and we are joined by Sade's mother, big sis Sheena. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sheena.
Hey, Jazz.
How are you?
I am. I'm here. I'm present. Is it a pleasure to be with you, sis? You know, I got nothing but mad love for you. Our connection is in sync. Yeah. You know, I don't want to go too deep, but
yeah.
I have mad respect for you. Congratulations to
thank you
what you're doing, your walk, your path, how you have been encouraged and, you know, chosen and selected to do the things you're doing. It's a gift. Everybody does not have that ability to do the things that we do,
yeah,
as light workers, you know, putting out energy and helping others. So I'm proud of you, sis. And, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of how we have connected.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me sharing.
Yeah.
Jasmine was a stranger to myself and my family prior to I met her May and 24.
Yep.
And we initially bonded and connected. She literally did the entire memorial for Sade Robinson, and I have so much mad respect for you. of what you did at the Barrett Center.
Yeah.
And you put together when I was at a place where I could not move or think. So yeah. I just wanted to acknowledge and give you that.
I'm trying to wait a little bit before we start crying, Sheena.
I know. I don't want to get too deep, sis. You know, like,
No, but first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do that. You know, I'm not big on cameras and being in the forefront or nothing like that. But we've had middle of the night conversations, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning. I understand you in your spirit. And I know that this affects you more than just because you're her mom, but because of the type of being that you are, your empath. So we feel more than other people. So this has hit you, yes, because it's your daughter, but because you're able to feel the entire situation to its entirety. Before we dig into it, I want to give you your flowers, because not only was Sade, she did graduate, because y'all did go accept her diploma. Yes, Sade is an official graduate. And now Adriana has received a full ride to Harvard University. And that speaks volumes about you as a mother. And it speaks volumes about how y'all rise in the midst of trials and tribulations. So congratulations to you and Adriana. Despite of whatever is happening outside of that, know that what has happened does not determine your motherhood, the woman you are, the battles you face with your health, that you are still here and you standing and you fighting. And as long as you keep standing and fighting, we going to stand right next to you and fight with you.
Thank you so much for that, Jasmine.
Of course. So,
appreciate you, sis.
Let's start from the beginning. Sade. When I see Sade, I used to want to cry, right, when it first happened. Mm-hmm. Now when I see her, I see a butterfly. I see a spirit that was light, that was full of energy. For those who did not know Sade, what type of child was she from the moment you held her in your arms when she was born up until that morning when she FaceTimed you? What type of child was Sade?
Oh, wow. That's deep, Jasmine. Man, Sade was the most, you know, from birth. She was born in Mississippi, okay? So, like, Vicksburg, Mississippi, that's our hometown, from Mississippi to Milwaukee. Sade was, from the beginning, she was one of the most happiest babies. She was, you know, a lot of people, you know, early moms, they talk about, you know, like how their motherhood is raising their babies. I'm going to sit here and literally say I was blessed,
yes,
with both of my daughters. And, you know, this is on God's spirit, like, to be, you know, my kids, Sade and Adriana, they are, I couldn't ask for another better set of kids.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, you know, both of them from birth to up and now, like, I implemented, installed everything I possibly could to the best of my ability. We're not perfect people.
Right.
Like, we're not perfect moms. We're going to learn and maneuver,
yep,
as we go through things and we grow through things and we groove through things. But, like, at the same time, you know, like, I have fought so hard, Jasmine, to get both of my babies to a place to make sure that they are not being, you know, allowing all of these layers. There's going to be barriers and challenges with anything, yes, and everything we do in life, you know?
Yes.
But to be able to maneuver and accomplish a lot of the barriers and the tactics that, you know, myself and my daughters went through, and to have them both be at a place where they're 18 and successful and they're graduating school and they're heading to college. This is everything a parent asks for. You get to this place and this point, yes, and then all of a sudden some dark entity comes and takes your child in the most brutal way.
Yeah.
So it's been challenging.
Yeah.
Jasmine, like, on every layer, for myself, for my family, because I put in so much and I'm at a place now where I was, you know, I'm supposed to be enjoying what I put in, traveling with my daughters. Mm-hmm. I have no grandkids yet. I haven't been to that spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and so we traveling. Sade loved traveling.
Yeah.
She had her passport at 18, you know, like she was all over the place. Yeah. Jamaica. She was independent. She traveled alone. And she's taught me so much, like within this time, like through spirit. And you talk about the empathic ability that we have. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because I am very spiritual. And, you know, I'm always connected to my daughters in spirit. And that's our connection.
Yeah.
It's nothing to explain to others. But, you know, when we know things, we are connected.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Leading up to this, Sade was on the path of graduating and had then wanted to join the Air Force afterwards. How excited were you when she decided to enroll in college?
I was, you know, I'm that mom, like, oh, I maneuver all their stuff. They're like, get back. Adriana just want me and out of her Harvard stuff. Like, I'm a Harvard mom. Like, baby,
come on now.
If you don't get out the way, let me manage this stuff. Like, I didn't work hard.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm an MATC mama, too. I'm an MATC alumni. I'm a Riverside University High School alumni. I'm a Golda Meir High School alumni. Shouts out to Golda Meir and Riverside University High School. I have nothing but mad love for both of these schools. You know, people do implement and mention a lot of things, not to get off topic, Jasmine, but about the school system and like how we implement things. It just, you know, a word of encouragement to the other parents and, you know, individuals that are out here maneuvering the Milwaukee public school system or any other school systems across the nation, because a lot of the things that I get from a lot of individuals that outreach me from other places and even here, the challenges and the barriers with the school system, the teachers and maneuvering. So it is challenging. I definitely will say that.
Yeah.
It wasn't an easy task, but I was able to maneuver both of my daughters through the MPS system, through Riverside, through Golda Meir. I can give them positive acclimates. And yes, Adriana, she was the valedictorian of Golda Meir.
Come
I
on
just
now.
I just gotta give, you know, I
that's
I'm,
a big
I'm
deal.
That bragging mama. My kids, you know, they've worked hard. Sade had a 3.8 GPA.
Yes.
She at 3.8 GPA was working two jobs.
Yes.
Was running literally pizza shuttle. Was also working at the Wisconsin Country Club. Was attending MATC, was
her
goal
house,
was to go
own
to
car.
Own apartment,
come on,
own car.
Yes.
I got my own house. I got my own car. You know, like she was a boss.
Yes.
At 19.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to dive all the way into the case and some of the things that you're facing afterwards. I was telling him earlier, Shoot Nation, about, yes, he was sentenced, but you're still fighting. You're still the fight. And then later on, we'll touch on what's happening with the storage unit as well. Do not touch that dial. We got Sheena Scarborough in the building. Your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, One on 1.7 The Truth. We have Miss Sheena Scarborough, my sister, in the building. This is the mother of Sade Robinson. Rest peacefully. Continue to rest peacefully, baby girl. We are talking about, we're talking about a lot, Truth Family. Listen, as I stated earlier, this show today is a little bit different. This is, you know, it's tough. It's trigger warnings. Just letting you all know now, because we're going to go step by step as it pertains to the case. And the reason being is because we are all family, right? There is things that our loved ones, people we know who has gone through things such as Sheena, that no one can ever imagine going through. We have to figure out ways to show up, not just during trials, not just during when the news and cameras are there, but afterwards as well. So Sheena, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Jasmine.
I love the fact, for those who are joining us, before we dive into this case, I just want to reiterate that Sade is a college graduate. Shout out to MATC for still giving you guys her diploma and allowing you guys to, you know, come on stage and accept her diploma. And not only that, Sade's little sister, your other daughter, shout out to Adriana. She has a full ride to Harvard University.
Let's freaking go. I'm a Harvard baba.
Come on. Again, it's a testament to the strength of you as a mother, as a woman. So congratulations again on that. So I met Sheena. She brought it up, you know, when she first joined us. I met Sheena in May of 2024. They were planning the memorial for Sade, and I was over planning that event at the Barrett Center. And we had an amazing memorial. Got a chance to sit down and talk to you. And then we ended up building our own relationship outside of that. And nobody see me. They don't see me on the camera. They don't see me in a place to be, because that's not my job. My role is to show up how I need to. But the reason why I bring that up is because one of the things I realized when we were building is how much of an empath you are, how spiritual you are, how you have, you know, gifts as well. And you're just an amazing human being overall. And I truly, truly appreciate your sisterhood. And I can't imagine what you go through. So no matter how long we go without seeing each other or talking, I always say ain't nothing changed but the day.
Ain't nothing changed. Different day, same thing, different day.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Can I just real briefly give a shout out to also, you know, you came through, you guys were like so, and that, again, that was the spiritual realm. As like you were present and you, she did everything. She picked up my energy and literally did the entire memorial and did not know me, and like that was so deep. And then also on top of that, select shouts out to Seth Shakur, your good friend and your sister, and the whole Tupac Amori Shakur Foundation. I have mad love, and you know I have a strong connection to Tupac. Anybody who knows me from childhood, I've been major Tupac lips. So like, it was another spiritual thing for me that I don't know if I shared it with you. Like with the, Jasmine is so skilled and gifted, and I didn't really know who she was and how she moves. But then, like, you put together this whole thing for the mothers who have lost their children a whole weekend in May. I think it was like May 24th.
Yep. June 24th.
And Tupac's sister, Seth Shakur, the whole Tupac family. John B, shouts out to him, the entire team. I got mad love for you all for being supportive and including me in that whole weekend. Like, when you're going through pain and trauma and grief, like, and then, you know, you got individuals who pull up. And Sade knows how much mommy loves her some Tupac. So I literally feel like that was Sade. Sending you all
to comfort
to me, because like, she knows of all people, mama's with Tupac. And so to meet and spend time with Seth Shakur that whole weekend, and she's such a beautiful angel as well.
I have mad love
for her.
It was a defining moment. Like, these are the stories that people don't know that I love, right? So we were at the Cooperage, and we were doing a panel discussion around mental health and wellness. And in the middle of the discussion, you made a comment, and I seen your soul, and you kind of like just, it's like everything you have been carrying, you just let out. And we stopped the entire event. We stopped the entire show. Everybody got up, moved the chairs, and we all just stood around you and prayed over you. And it was like the power in that room that day, I felt like something was released, right? I felt like we've had this conversation many times offline about that entity mm-hmm. that was involved in this case mm-hmm. and the spirits that entity carried and how mm-hmm. heavy it was. Mm-hmm. And during that time, it felt like a lift, like something had lifted. And I'm glad that you got a chance to, you know, spend time with us. I'm glad that you allowed us to spend time with you as well. And I'm glad that we're able to talk about it, because these are the things behind scenes that I'm trying to get our community to understand what needs to happen, how we're supposed to show up, not just with the cameras and not just with
yes.
the rhetoric, but show up in a way that people don't even know, you know?
Yeah, the trauma and pain that crime victim families and moms, you know, like, you know, I'm connected to a lot of the mom angels that you kind of, and that literally was through you, through that weekend, kind of meeting some of the other angel moms in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And some of the other crime moms. And I know we all have our own walks and our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mad respect for all of the angels, and I want justice for all of our babies
yeah.
in the Milwaukee community.
Yes.
Okay? So each of us have our own path and our own walk. And it's pretty... You know, it's heavy with every situation, but you have to take every situation different.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assess. Every individual has their own plan of cure. Like, my baby story is not the same as such and such
right.
story.
Exactly.
We both lost our babies, but we have that same pain, but I'm able to connect. That's been a part of one of my, I can't say healing, because as you're healing, as a crime grief mama, is freaking surreal.
Yeah.
The layers that I have been challenged with are not normal. I wouldn't put this on any other individual, some of the layers and things that I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too heavy, but I do want to stay connected to you with what we're saying about the community and helping other individuals. And other individuals have outreached me
yeah.
a lot. That, and I want to do mad respect. Thank you to everybody in the Wisconsin that has been pulling up in the 414 Milwaukee, supporting us wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many individuals. Adam Carr is one of my good close friends. He helped implement her Memorial Park bench at the Warnemount Park. Becky with the Milwaukee Parks Foundation. There's a lot of individuals. David Crawley, you know. There's a lot of county, there's a lot of layers to this.
Yes.
And even talking about implementing park memorial benches for your family members.
Yes.
This is one of the things the foundation is trying to implement for other crime victim families. You know, as I'm trying to maneuver a lot of layers,
yeah.
putting together a foundation off the ground. I ain't never done this before.
Yeah.
I ain't never ran a business. I ain't never run a foundation. I come from a mental health background.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of, you know, I have a bachelor's in psychology. I was in graduate school, Jasmine,
yeah.
To get my LPC. I was in a graduate school at Concordia to become a licensed professional counselor. It was 2 weeks I was in school, and then the detectives were at my front door knocking. I was tutoring part-time and in graduate school full-time. 2 weeks in. To be a community licensed professional counselor. Mm-hmm. And I have detectives at my door that your daughter's car has been found torched on April the 3rd. That our lives have not been the same since April 3rd of 2024.
Yeah.
We have not moved the same. Myself, Adriana, my parents. I've been nonstop fighting for 28 months now.
Yeah.
28 months. August 1st made 28 months that this demonic Maxwell murderer entity took my daughter
mm-hmm.
for no reason. I don't, this, you know, and I it triggers me. We
yes.
have a lot of triggers.
Yes.
As crime victim moms, so I'll, like the triggers, you know, I'll
yeah.
see things. So sometimes I take breaks from the media.
Yeah.
The news. Like I have to. As I maneuver to protect myself and my peace, it's mm-hmm. a lot of layers.
Yes.
Yes. And I want to give shouts out to the people that have been pulling up to support me. And I love them that are part of the foundation, that are doing things. But there also are a lot of entities that are not meaning good.
That's right.
There's a lot of vultures.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, I keep it real because this is the truth.
Right? Yep, that's right. And we was talking about it. And we got to go to break. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we are joined by my good sister Sheena Scarborough, the mother of Sade Robinson. We are talking about the case. We are talking about people profiting off of pain. The fight is not over when someone is convicted or charged. It's just the beginning, and there's still layers and things that you have been dealing with outside of that. But before we jump into that, do you mind if we talk about the case from the beginning?
Yeah, I'm open, Jasmine, to discussing some things. You know, if anything triggers me or I don't want to discuss it, I definitely will let you know.
Yep, absolutely. So, let's go back to the beginning. To my understanding, you received a FaceTime from Sade that morning, and that this happened, and 3 days prior to that, she went to a bar for an interview, which is where she met. I don't call him by his name. I call him the fool.
That demon.
Yeah.
The Maxwell murderer. The Maxwell murderer. You know, my daughter, she's like any other 19-year-old. And this goes for all the moms, because I am that mom that implemented, and we had an open, you know, we had open conversations. We shared everything. She was my mom's best friend.
Yeah.
We were a strong, connected family. We're very connected. So, like, I'm that parent that stays present and does everything. And so for something like this to happen is surreal. That day I spoke to her, Jasmine, that morning, she FaceTimed me. And she usually, you know, she's usually calling my mom every day. And, you know, I know they're connected. Again, my mama was her best friend, Mama mm-hmm. Faye. For her, when they say that she was at an interview, like with that book, there's a lot of missed layers that, you know, I still am researching. There's a lot of unanswered questions. But my daughter had
2 jobs.
Yo, like, and then they tried to pull some stuff, Jasmine, about, you know, like that, it really triggered me in the trial about my daughter was a drug dealer and
they
she has some
it.
Stuff. And they're like, man, are you kidding me? Yeah. My daughter ain't do nothing like that. She ain't move like mm-hmm. that. Bro, my mama and my sister brought her that pink safe to keep all her money in because she had tips falling everywhere. My daughter was money attracts us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're not money hungry. We're not those type of individuals. We're not about money. But like anything monetary, it's like money attracts to us, period.
Yeah.
That's just the way it moves. So, like, we move in spirit, though.
Right.
And we move in purpose. So, like, anything that is moving with us, we recycle it anyway.
So you believe that, and I thought this when I heard it, too. I'm laughing because I'm glad that you're saying it for me. But the whole, I'll just say this. There's the truth, and then there's their truth, and then there's the truth. And there's so many different things intertwined, from a possible coworker setting her up to the fact that they're saying she went on an interview when she already had 2 jobs. The fact that it was this establishment in which, if you're from Milwaukee, you know all about that particular bar and things that has transpired in there. So to your knowledge, you were not aware of any.
No, Jasmine, I was not. And these shady bars, Victor's,
mm-hmm.
Twisted Fisherman, Duke's, all of a sudden, Victor's and Duke's, they immediately have shut down.
Yep.
Because they wicked in the wicked Wisconsin, if you don't mind me saying. You know, there's just a lot of positive energy individuals in Milwaukee, but there's some wicked Wisconsin individuals. So I will call them out. Victor's and Twisted Fisherman and Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
They should not. They all are on camera serving my minor child.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol.
It's all national. It's national news. It's national made. We've seen you serving. So I will be coming for all those individual entities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried to shut the bar down. But whoever was at that bar, you're all on camera, baby.
That's
I
right.
will get to you.
That's
you
right.
on my list. You added to the list.
That's
you
right.
individual entities will be held accountable because you know better. You didn't ask my daughter for ID. Why are y'all sitting here serving her alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
She's 19.
Right.
I'm not moving like that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not moving like that. I'm very appropriate. I don't play that with my, you know.
Yeah.
Period. Like, you know, yeah, I'm in college. You know, a lot of college kids, we do that.
Yeah.
You move, but like at this end of the day, this was all caught on camera.
Yeah.
These individuals serving my daughter, she was not looking for no additional jobs. She didn't mention no additional jobs to myself, my mother, the close individual entities.
Mm-hmm.
There was no job she was looking for.
So she did not meet him because she was looking for a job. Did someone connect her with him?
I believe she met him through some coworkers, okay? And it's all going back to Pizza Shuttle.
Yep.
Okay, because my daughter was, you know, I was a little bit concerned at one point. Like, you know, when your kids, you know, I'm that mama checking the app, where you at?
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of hanging out a little extra after work with some of her coworkers.
Yeah.
So it's a little something
yep.
extra up at Pizza Shuttle with some of the people she was running with, and I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I was like, Sade, who are these people you going out with? Because Sade usually didn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't no bar hopper individual.
Yeah.
So, like, when I see all these videos and these bars, this shit, oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Excuse me. This stuff is surreal.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's surreal, you know, but it's natural for teenagers and college students. I did stuff in college.
Right.
I went to Alcorn State University. I'm an alumni of Hines Community College. I'm from Mississippi. Warren Central High School, shouts out. You know, I'm from Mississippi to Milwaukee, okay? So, like, we moved a little bit different in the smaller cities and
yeah.
the country areas from how we move. And, you know, like, the Milwaukee moves a little bit different from Mississippi.
Yeah.
And, Milwaukee moves a little different from Florida. You know, Shadi spent a little time in Florida with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little school there as we co-parented.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little bit of transition, but, you know, from 10th grade to graduation, she did Riverside University.
Okay.
And that was during the pandemic. Sade transitioned back home with me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she is an alumni of MATC. But this is not Sade's natural
behavior.
It's something. As an empath, this was a setup.
Yes.
This entity.
Yep.
This murderer, Maxwell Murderer,
mm-hmm.
was plotting and planning. And there's a lot of information.
Yeah.
We just got started, Jasmine, because
yeah.
a lot of individuals think that we got justice.
Right.
Okay? Like, you know, we the trial started in May of 25. You know, we have the sentencing. We have the convictions. Then we got to do the right. It's so many layers. It's nonstop.
Yeah.
I catch no breaks.
Yeah.
And it's still ongoing because now from criminal, we are into civil.
Yeah.
We're on ongoing civil trials now.
Which is a completely different beast.
Oh, it's a totally different beast. And I didn't do, you know, again, I come from a mental health, psychology background, behavioral health. So, like, this is all new to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, dealing with the law, dealing with the police. I've never been to jail. I've never been arrested. This ain't my normal walk.
Yeah.
Now I got to deal with all these entities. I'm learning all this different stuff for crime victim families. There's a lot of other families that's been reaching out and stuff, and I got y'all back.
Yeah.
That's what Sade's Voice Foundation.
Yes.
Please follow the foundation, y'all. www.Sade's, S-A-D-E-S, Voice, foundation.com. And we are here to support other crime victim families to maneuver.
Yes.
Through the criminal justice system. Because there are so many multiple layers, and I've been learning things nonstop, ongoing for the past 28 months. And I'm going to share all the information
yeah.
that I have gotten and implemented to how I've been maneuvering the criminal justice system and how challenging it is.
So there was a comment earlier. I don't know if it's true because I don't mm-hmm. like gossip, but because you're mm-hmm. here, I do want to ask. Someone mentioned that Apparently, an informant came forward stating that he had been, in fact, premeditating and planning this a week prior.
Yeah, that was a big trigger for me and her dad. So, like, they never presented who that entity was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very avid, you know, with the DA, all of the law enforcement. And shouts out to the Milwaukee Police Department. And Lieutenant April Johnson, Detective Michael Driscoll. You know, I'm going to give respect to where it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, there's multiple layers of law enforcement individuals that supported our case, mm-hmm. from the sheriffs to the Milwaukee Police Department. Okay. Everybody's not a bad entity. But there's a lot of layers that were not completed and done.
Right.
I'm going to call stuff out where it is.
Yes.
My niece, shouts out to Kiki, the vice president of Shoddy's Voice Foundation, who has been my, basically a lot of my support. She's led a lot of the community searches. Mm-hmm. She was able to literally find most of my daughter's remains.
Yes.
And she led a lot of these things that the police did not find.
And so we got to go to break real quick. But when we come back, we're going to tap into that. The fact that all of these things were found by family and citizens. If you walk the same path, how are these things missed? Let's talk about it when we get back. We got Sheena Scarborough in the building. Your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.